Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And today we're going to look at two very familiar verses, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Two tremendous scriptures. Matter of fact, these, I believe, are two of the most appreciated, two of the most often quoted verses in the Bible. I perhaps could ask here, how many of you have these memorized? Would you raise your hand? Oh, great. Many folks have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 memorized. Tremendous scripture. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I'd like us to begin today as we get down to 5 and 6. We'll read verses 1 through 12, and then we'll have prayer, and then we'll study these two verses together. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's bow again for a moment of prayer. Our dear Father, we once again ask you now to teach us your truth. Open our eyes, we pray. Change us as we learn an area perhaps where we've been stumbling. Perhaps, Lord, there's some in this room that really have not been acknowledging you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a people that bring every burden to you. That you, Lord, would smooth out our path. May you guide us now and bless us as we open your word. And may you, Lord, do an eternal work in all of our lives. Help us, God, to be changed because of this truth that we consider or reconsider today. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many in this room want a directed path? Raise your hand. Well, really all of us should, right? I want God to direct my path. I don't want a messed up life. I want to find God's will for my life. Because as the choir sang today, his way is perfect. God's way is absolutely the best way. And all of us, if we are sensible and wise, want the Lord, who knows everything, who has the right perspective, to look down upon us and steer us as we go through life, so that we will not be hitting walls and going off the road and veering and going over rough terrain. God is going to bless our steps if we follow these two verses here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I believe that these two verses are so appreciated because they encapsulate the whole of the Christian life and faith. They contain the secret to success and the secret to security. You know, the Bible teaches that God is trustworthy. That means that God is worthy of our faith. You know, there's one sin that will cause people to be separated from God forever. That sin is unbelief. Unbelief. God has one requirement for salvation. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Of course, you all know John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's requirement for salvation is faith or belief. We must trust God and trust his Son who paid for our sin. You see, the scripture teaches that if we believe God, we're blessed. We've read a couple weeks ago, Hebrews 11. We've seen the heroes of the faith, men and women of God who throughout history lived and died by faith. And God blessed them. Men like Noah, who worked by faith, and Enoch, who walked by faith, and David, who conquered by faith, and men like Daniel, who stood up for what was right, even in a pagan society like Babylon, by faith. We have learned that faith honors God, and God honors faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to believe God, not doubt God. Trust God, because God is trustworthy. He is worthy of our dependency upon him. You notice in Proverbs 3, verse 5, the first word is trust. What does it mean to trust? We could give a lot of synonyms. Trust, we could say, means believe. That's right. It means to rely upon. It means to depend upon. You know, this week I was doing some work of putting up siding at my house. And I am not a type of person that climbs very well. I'm a little bit top heavy. That's for some who are maybe of a lighter frame and a shorter stature. But I was climbing up the ladder and way up to the top of this house and nailing on. And there were times where it was kind of precarious. I'd be leaning way over here and I didn't fall. Praise God. But, you know, I was depending upon that ladder. I was relying on that ladder to hold me up and to stay stable. My faith was on that ladder. Leaning upon the house, standing upon the ground, hoping that it would remain firm and that there wouldn't be an earthquake while I was up there. As Jonia was telling me this morning about an earthquake that hit the Caribbean. Some of the islands over there, like Dominica, were shaken by an earthquake. A church building fell down, I heard. And so I was hoping for no earthquake. But you know, my friends, we have to trust God, depend upon God, throw all of our weight upon God, rely upon him. Just as a patient trusts a doctor for surgery. Just as a traveler trusts a pilot for a safe takeoff and a safe landing. We need to trust God. Just as a carpenter, like Vincent Sawyer, trusted the ladder to keep him up. I'm not a carpenter, I'm just kidding. But God is trustworthy. Today, as we look at what it means to trust God, we're going to see 6 points. They won't be long, don't worry. We will see the source of our trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. The measure of our trust, the Bible says, with all thine heart. The error of our trust, he says, don't lean on your own understanding. The extent of our trust, in all thy ways. The manner of our trust, the Bible says, acknowledge him. And the results of our trust, and he shall direct thy paths. First of all, let us notice the source of our trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. You see, faith is only as good as the object of our faith. Isn't that true? I mean, of course, those of you from India, how many people here from India? I have a lot of people from India. They say there are over 33 million gods and goddesses in India. Over 33 million objects of faith. Can those images help them? Can those idols come to their rescue? Can they save them from sin? Can they give them eternal life? Of course, the answer is no. No idol can do that. No rock, no image, no created thing can save our souls and give us eternal life. We do not trust in graven images. But you see, you could have so much faith in that person or that idol, so great faith, but that greatness of your faith will do you no good, because faith is only as good as the object of that faith. And if the object of your faith is not true and not reliable, then it doesn't matter how much faith you have, that thing will not help you. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord. Who is the Lord? He is Jehovah, Yahweh, the one who is, as opposed to the idols who ain't. He is the God who exists, the eternal God. God is always the object of our faith. We trust not in man. As the Bible says, put not your trust in princes. We don't trust in angels, for all they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. We don't trust in saints. We don't trust in the Virgin Mary. Nowhere in the Bible does it say trust in Mary. Instead, Mary said, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. We don't trust in any Saint Anthony, Saint Jude, Saint Peter, or any other saint. The object of our faith is the Lord. The Bible says trust in the Lord. It even says on our $1 bill, in God we trust. Isaiah 26 verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. If we trust in man, man's ability and man's sufficiency is always going to come short. It's very much like a bed sheet that is too short. You pull it up close to your head, your feet are exposed. You put it down over your feet, your chest and head is cold. You trust in man, you'll always come up short. You trust in God, and He'll take care of you. Many times we trust man more than we trust God. We put our faith in people. My wife even said to me the other day, having you here is a blessing, but sometimes I fear that I trust you a little too much. You know, we need to trust God. D.L. Moody said, trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. Martin Luther said, and as he gave a similar testimony, he said, quote, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I placed in God's hands, that I still possess. My friends, we need to just trust God with everything, in everything. A frantic mother called her pastor one day. She was experiencing a bad case of nerves, as many mothers do. And so he thought that as he was talking to her, that he heard a child's voice while he was speaking to the mother. And he asked the mother, he said, now, is your child upset as you are? Is she worried like you are? And the mother said, no, of course not. Why not? Persisted the pastor. Well, I suppose she puts her trust in me and lets me do the worrying. Well, the pastor said, well, then make a transference. Think of yourself as a child of God. And then just as your child puts her trust in you, you put your trust in God. And let Him take care of you. The Bible says, cast all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Scripture says, trust in the Lord. Trust God's wisdom to guide. Trust His goodness to provide. Trust His saving love and power. Trust Him every day and hour. Trust Him as the only light. Trust Him in the darkest night. Trust in sickness. Trust in health. Trust in poverty and wealth. Trust Him living, dying too. Trust Him all the journey through. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. Rely upon Him exclusively. He's the object of our trust. Secondly, the measure of our trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord, notice, with all thine heart. That means totally, completely. Not a half-hearted trust. Not a faith like James writes about in James chapter 1, where the Bible says that when you pray, you need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with a wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Sometimes we're like that. We're, God, I trust you, but then I'm not so sure if I could trust you. But Lord, I trust you, but oh, I have my doubts. And we sort of waver. Back and forth. God says that's unstable. An unstable man gets nothing from God. We need to trust the Lord completely with all our heart. That means take the plunge and rely upon God completely. You know, there are some who take the plunge. My daughters were diving off the diving board in Indiana. Some of them were learning how to dive for the first time. And they'd get over to the edge and they're going to have to rely upon the buoyancy provided by the water. They're going to have to rely upon their ability to get to the other side. And as they're standing there and they're ready to jump, can I do it? Can I do it? And eventually they dove. They just said, here it is. Here's everything. And they just dove right in. Do you know something? When we come to God, we need to just throw ourselves completely into His hand. Entrusting ourselves into the hands of a faithful Creator, as the Bible says. And just rely upon Him with everything, with all of our being. You know, those who doubt God's salvation probably have a problem simply trusting God with a childlike 100% dependency. If you find that you're struggling with assurance of salvation, you're sometimes doubting, am I saved? My friend, you need to just simply plunge into the hands of God. Just commit your soul and eternity into His hand with 100% reliance upon Him, relying upon yourself 0%. By the way, nobody gets saved who relies upon themselves even 1%. Nobody gets saved who relies upon their works, their religion, some other individual. Nobody gets saved by the grace of God who's relying upon anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ 100%. See, it's all or nothing. God says, trust me with all of your heart. Just as salvation is 100% dependency on Christ and 0% on anything or anyone else, so the Christian life should be. Where I say, God, I'm going to trust you with all of my heart. Notice thirdly, the error of our trust. He says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. To lean on means to depend on or rely upon. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. You know, if I want to support my weight and I'm kind of leaning on this, I'm depending upon that to hold me up. Otherwise, this 200 and I won't give you the exact number. This body's going to fall if this thing doesn't hold me up. I'm leaning on it, relying upon it. The Bible says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't depend on what you think. Don't rely upon your intelligence. Don't put your faith in what you are capable of doing. Don't lean on your own understanding. We have an example of Joshua doing this. In Joshua chapter 9, when the Gibeonites came to him and they were they were planned, they had a plan to deceive. And as the Gibeonites came to Joshua, the scripture teaches that the men took of their victuals, that is, they saw their moldy bread and they looked at it and they saw their shoes. Boy, they're worn out. Yeah, you must be from a long distance away. And the scripture says they took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't seek God's advice. And as a result, they were deceived and they made a pact, a treaty, a covenant with the Gibeonites. And in Joshua 9:14, it was because they didn't ask counsel of God. They were relying upon themselves. Solomon said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, decline not from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, the fact that God says over and over again in Proverbs, get understanding, tells me that understanding is something I don't have. It's something I must obtain. It's something that comes from outside of me. I must get understanding. I'm talking about true understanding, true wisdom. The implication is that it lies outside of me in God. God is my source of knowledge. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. He says man doesn't have it in himself. Boy, does that philosophy fly in the face of our society's thinking today, where our world says, just trust yourself, rely on yourself. You've got the answers in yourself. Search within yourself. No, that's just the opposite of what God says. God says, don't look in, look up. Seek the true and living God. Don't lean on your own understanding. See, our understanding has been adversely affected by sin. Our understanding is not dependable. It's not reliable. It's like a broken compass. It serves as an unreliable compass. I cannot rely upon my own understanding. How is it? Asked a French pastor of Dr. Griffith Thomas. He said, how is it that the professors in our theological seminary at Paris are not even sure that Jesus ever existed in the flesh? And yet some of the poorest and most obscure members of my congregation know it beyond the peradventure of a doubt. The poorest and most obscure members were trusting in the Lord with all their heart. But the theological professors were leaning upon their own understanding. So many do, rather than trusting in the Lord. See, a pilot was experiencing some difficulty in landing a plane because of the fog. And he had to contact the airport, and they were going to bring him in by radar. And so as he began to receive directions from the ground, he suddenly remembered that a tall pole was in the flight path. And he appealed in panic to the control tower about that tall pole. The reply came bluntly, quote, you obey instructions. We will take care of obstructions. You just do what we tell you to do. We'll take care of the obstructions in your path. You know, my friend, we need to just rely on God that way. Don't rely on yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. Let God guide. Notice, fourthly, the extent of our trust. We have seen the source of our trust. We're to trust in the Lord. The measure of our trust, with all our heart. The error of our trust. Don't lean on your own understanding. Beware of that arrogant independence. Fourthly, the extent of our trust. The Bible says, in all thy ways. That means I'm to trust God in everything. Not just when calamity strikes. People trust God then. God, we need you. It's like the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, when there's a calamity, oh God, we need you. But the Bible says, trust him in all thy ways. Not just in those big decisions of life, but we need God all the time. I'm going to get to this word, but I just want to bring it up now. In verse 6, he says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. That word acknowledge is an interesting word. As I studied it, you notice the word knowledge is in the word acknowledge. It's the Hebrew word yada, which means to know. That's what it means, to know God in everything. It's interesting. It's the same word used in Genesis where Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived. Or in Genesis 8:11, Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. It's just the word to know. In all thy ways, know God, acknowledge God. What does that mean? Well, I believe it means in every situation, in every circumstance of life, recognize that you need God. Acknowledge him in prayer. Say, God, I need you. In what way? In every way. We could think of some ways. I thought, in my home life, I need God. I need to acknowledge him in my home life. Lord, how can I be a better husband? Lord, how can I be a better father? Ladies, you ought to acknowledge God. How can I be a better wife? Help me to be a better mother. I need your wisdom that I might be a better parent or a better spouse. We need to acknowledge God in everything, in all thy ways. Hey, that would include things like vocation. What is your career choice for me? What should I pursue, Lord? I believe that would include location. Where do you want me to live and serve you? Let me be content where I am, but I desire you to direct my steps for the future. Where do you want me, God? I want to be where you want me, in the center of your will. By the way, I am not like some who just believe that, almost as if God is not interested in the details of your life. You could just choose among several different things, and that's the will of God for you. I believe God has a specific will for each of us. As I've said before, that if God knows the number of hairs on our head, and in my case, they're still getting fewer and fewer. I think I lost a few more this week, or a few more went gray. But if God knows when a little sparrow falls to the ground, do you think he's concerned about the details of your life? I believe so. When the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, I believe God is interested in all our ways. Not just some of our ways. Not just the big decisions of life. In every decision of life. Like, Lord, where should we go on vacation this year? Would you direct us? Where would you have us go? Which place and what activities would help our family and would glorify you? Acknowledge him in your education. Lord, should I attend college? If so, where should I go? We should acknowledge him in our friendships. Lord, keep me away from bad company. And give me your choice of friends. We should acknowledge God in our recreation. In the activities that we do. Even for enjoyment. Lord, should we own a TV? If so, what programs would be acceptable for us to view? Is this permissible, Lord? In church ministry, Lord, you've led me to this ministry. How should I serve you here? What would you have me do among your people? In our devotional life, we need to acknowledge him. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119:18. Teachers, in your lesson preparation, acknowledge him. Lord, give me wisdom. You know the children in my class. You know what their needs are. Help me to prepare a lesson that will meet their need today. For our standards, Lord, are these clothes acceptable to you? Some of you ladies probably changed wardrobe 3 times this morning. And many didn't even think to ask, Lord, what do you want me to wear? Or what about hairstyle? As a Christian, what hairstyle would be most appropriate for me to represent you, Lord Jesus? By the way, in all of these things, whether it's clothes or hair or anything like that, we want to be modest. We want to be attired, dressed in such a way that we would draw attention not to ourselves but to the Lord, not to attract attention to certain sexual body parts that would become a stumbling block to particularly men. But Lord, help me to have standards that you want. Not legalism, not legalistically, but out of love, Lord, guide me in these choices. What about economics? Lord, should I purchase this item? When you go grocery shopping, Lord, direct me today. Help me to buy food that will nourish my family, that will strengthen their bodies. Man, when was the last time you acknowledged God in that? Should I make this purchase? Or, Lord, give me wisdom in my budget. You see, the Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That means make God part of everything you do. Breathe prayer all day, every day, 24/7. That's the walk God wants us to have with Him. That He'd be our closest friend, our dearest companion, that we would bring everything to the Lord. God would be pleased with that. The Bible says that the prayer of the upright is His delight. And so the measure of our trust, He says, acknowledge me in all thy ways. And then the manner of our trust. How should I trust Him? Well, the Bible, as I said, uses that word acknowledge, which again is from a word which means to know. God wants us to know Him in every detail of our life. To know His thoughts. You see, I believe this means prayer. In everything, be praying to God. I find that prayer is the first area of our life that gets neglected. Long before a person stops coming to church, they've stopped praying. Long before they've stopped reading their Bible, they stop praying. Prayer is usually the first thing that goes down in a person's life. And I believe it's the secret to all success in our lives. God created man to fellowship with Him. But sin broke that fellowship. But the grace of God in Christ restored that fellowship. Now we can commune with Him. We can ask and seek and knock as we sang this morning in Matthew 7:7. God wants us to just simply know Him in everything, to come before Him and say, Lord, let me know Your mind. Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is His delight. You know, over and over, God makes this appeal. Continually pray, not just on Sunday, not just in the morning, but all the time. The Bible says, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Timothy 2:8, pray everywhere. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. 1 Peter 4:7, watch unto prayer. Romans 12:12, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. God wants us to keep on praying. You know, I believe it's a sin not to pray. It's a sin of omission. Samuel said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But yet prayer is something that we struggle with. It's something that the disciples slept when they needed to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. It seems today that people pray less frequently than ever before. And I'll be honest, among those of us who are fundamentalists, what I mean by that is we believe in the fundamentals of Scripture. Those of us who are conservative, those of us who are who believe in solid Bible doctrine, we're usually good when it comes to the Scripture. We'll preach the truth. Do you know something? If there's one shortcoming that we have within the circle of those who really pursue diligence in handling the Word of God carefully, it's prayer that lacks. And that's what we need, my friends. We need to be people who give themselves to continual prayer, because God is awesome. And he says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If we would only learn God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3, and call unto him all the time, God says, I'll answer you. But you know, today we're very self-sufficient. We have so much. In America, we have provision, plenty of food, plenty of goods, plenty of time. We have a lot of electronic appliances and a lot of technological advances. And I think it has made us proud, independent. We have so many things. But you know, my friends, we need the Lord. The world expects to get things by work or planning or scheming or by accident. But the Bible says you have not because you ask not. James 4:2. Acknowledge him in all your ways. God has everything to offer. As the hymn writer said, my Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. God has everything. But you know, when it comes to knowing God, in all thy ways know God, it involves certainly talking to God, but it involves listening to God. Isn't communication two-way? Yeah. Communication is careful speaking and careful listening. That's good communication. We talk to God in prayer, but how does God talk to us? Through His Word. If I acknowledge God, God, I need wisdom. Give me your mind on this situation that I'm dealing with here. How do we expect to find the will of God if we don't read the Word of God? You think God is just going to somehow, you know, knock you on the head? Okay, I got the answer now. You've acknowledged me. Here it is. And whisper it in your ear? Well, God certainly does speak to our conscience. God does speak to our heart. But listen, He does so through His Word. He speaks through His Word. And so as God speaks to you, the Bible teaches that we need to be ready to listen, but God speaks through His Word. Listen to this. Somebody said when you're in sorrow, these are God's emergency phone numbers, God's emergency numbers. When in sorrow, call John 14. When men fail you, call Psalm 27. If you want to be fruitful, call John 15. When you have sinned, call Psalm 51. When you worry, call Matthew 6:19-34. When you're in danger, call Psalm 91. When God seems far away, call Psalm 139. When your faith needs stirring, call Hebrews 11. When you are lonely and fearful, call Psalm 23. When you grow bitter and critical, call 1 Corinthians 13. When you want Paul's secret to happiness, call Colossians 3:12-17. When you feel down and out, call Romans 8:31-39. When you want peace and rest, call Matthew 11:25-30. When the world seems bigger than God, call Psalm 90. When you want Christian assurance, call Romans 8:1-30. When you leave home or for labor or for travel, call Psalm 121. When your prayers grow narrow or selfish, call Psalm 67. When you want courage for a task, call Joshua 1. How to get along with fellow men? Call Romans 12. When you think of investments and returns, call Mark 10. If you are depressed, call Psalm 27. If your pocketbook is empty, call Psalm 37. If you're losing confidence in people, call, again, 1 Corinthians 13. If people seem unkind, call John 15. If you're discouraged about your work, call Psalm 126. If you find the world growing small and yourself great, call Psalm 19. Emergency numbers may be dialed direct. No operator assistance is necessary. All lines are open to heaven 24 hours a day. Feed your faith and doubt will starve to death. We just need to get into God's Word and acknowledge Him. Say, God, I need your mind on this situation. Help me. And then you know what God will do? The results of our trust? He shall direct thy paths. See the end of verse 6? God will direct your path. The word direct is the Hebrew word yashar, and very often it is translated to make straight. For example, Proverbs 4:25, let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Psalm 5:8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. 2 Chronicles 32:30. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. Isaiah 43, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight a desert in the desert a highway for our God. Psalm 45:2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. You know what it says when God will direct your path? It means that God is going to so direct you that He's going to direct you in a straight path. Not crooked. You won't be turning to the right hand or to the left. You won't be going up against dead-end streets and brick walls. You will not veer off the straight and narrow. But my friend, if you acknowledge God in all your ways, if you follow through in trusting God completely, the Scripture says, God is going to make your path straight. He's going to make it in such a way that it's straight both horizontally and vertically. In other words, there will be no bumps in the road. It will be straight vertically and it will be straight horizontally. God is going to guide us without those stumbling blocks as we saw on Wednesday night. As we were studying Hebrews chapter 12, where the Scripture there says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. God wants us to have a straight life, to walk a straight path. But we'll never do it unless we trust the Lord completely and acknowledge Him in every detail. He'll smooth out the path of the child of God. When He directs us, our path will be level. It'll be right. It'll be correct. It'll please us and please God. But I'll tell you, if you don't trust God with all your heart, if you do lean on your own understanding, if you refuse to acknowledge God in the details of your life, your path will be rough, difficult. The Bible says that the way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13:15. The way of transgressors is hard. Life is a series of rough paths for those who don't have God's leading. If you don't have God guiding you and leading you and directing you, you know it. Life is tough. If you find that your life has been one series of difficulty after another, it could be that you're not trusting God with all your heart. Perhaps you're leaning on your own understanding. You have refused to acknowledge God in all your ways. And as a result, He's not been directing your path. But we all want that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what do we need? I believe we need a continual communion with Him. We need to say, Lord, I'm going to take the plunge and rely upon you with everything I've got. I'm going to stop trusting my wisdom and my arrogant intelligence, coming to you about the details of my life, saying, God, guide me here, guide me there. Now, those of you who have done this in your life, you know this works. You know it works. And you know that when you did this, your life was blessed. You had joy. There was fruit. There was success. There was blessing. But when you got away, when you stopped praying, you stopped acknowledging God, you no longer have that continual communion with God, your life got more difficult. And it seems life is rough. It's time, folks, to get back. To get back to that constant communion with God, so that the Lord will once again give us a good path. Smooth out our path. Make it straight, not crooked, so that our life will be like that which, you know, you study the life of Jesus. He only had a public ministry for 3.5 years. Yet the Bible says if everything he said and did was written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written, because he was led every detail by the will of the Father, setting a pattern for us so that we too could follow in his steps and be so led that God will just bless our lives and bless our family and bless our ministry. But it has to be that we acknowledge him. Do you have any troubles today? What kind of struggles do you have in your life? Bring it to the Lord. He's concerned about it. And he'll start directing your path. Especially you young people, you teenagers. Young people, listen, you're about to make some of the important decisions of your life. The decisions you make in the next few years will determine in large measure who you marry, where you live, and what you do for the rest of your life. You better make some right decisions. That means be people of prayer. Rely on God. Acknowledge him in everything. Lord, help me to obey my father and mother. Lord, help me to do well in school. Give me wisdom. Lord, keep me away from bad company. God, direct me. Should I go to college? Which one, Lord? And God will direct your path. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And God's going to bless your future. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, thank you for this wonderful promise. We know it's a conditional promise. The directed path is the result of those who trust you, Lord. Help us to trust you with all of our heart. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our doubt. Give us a strong belief, Lord, in you and in your word. Father, I pray that we will repent of pride, for we have relied upon our own ingenuity too long and too much. Forgive us. Lord, we desire to acknowledge you in every detail of life. Give us the grace to do so. Help us to just walk with you as friend with friend. And keep praying all the day long. And then, Lord, we know you'll direct our future. Please, dear God, bless your saints here. Those that are struggling in some way, Lord, may they bring that burden and cast it completely upon you today. Help us, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.